Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text, Romans 10, verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame? I doubt it. Isn't that one of the preconditions for living a theology of the cross, that we share with Christ in his sufferings, all of the glory hidden away and all of the shame fully on display? Didn't Jesus say, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me? Sounds to me like there's some shame involved with that. Didn't Paul say, I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked. That sounds like being put to shame to me. And Peter warned his flock, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as if something strange were happening to you. That sounds to me like being put to shame. And yet Paul says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. On the other hand, it looks here as if trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is the one sure route to humiliation, disgrace, and shame. And it's true. You know it's true. Maybe you were the student in the high school science class who said the creation word. Maybe you were on the Life Chain Sunday out on the roadside holding the sign and watching the various gestures come from one passing car or another. Maybe you have done some reading on new martyrs created in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in distant lands and some not so distant, or maybe you yourself have experienced persecution. Before human eyes, Jesus is the route to shame. But that's the point. Before human eyes, Jesus is the route to shame. Paul could care less what those unbelievers around him were saying as they derided him. Not any more than Isaiah cared about what the drunken scoffers were saying to him in Isaiah chapter 28. Neither of them cared because they knew that the shame of the world counts for nothing. What counts for everything is to stand before the Lord God in the judgment without shame. The one who trusts in God, the one whose hope is in Jesus, will never be dismayed, never be confused, never flee in fright. The one whose hope is in Jesus has a hope that is never in vain. And in Jesus, on that last day before the judgment, there will be no shame. And the one in Jesus will stand in the judgment. Now, stand in the judgment is exactly what was going on 469 years ago when the Augsburg Confession was presented. Although now we're again talking about the other kind of judgment, a very different kind of judgment than that which comes at the last. This happened on June the 25th. It was presented before Charles V, the Diet of Augsburg. It didn't take place in the courtroom where most of the proceedings had been taking place. Instead, it happened at the Bishop's Palace in a place called the Chapter Room. It was Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when the reading began. There was some argument over which language it should be read in. Charles V wanted it to be read in Latin. Elector John made a strong argument that this was a German confession of the German lands and should be read in German, and Charles V conceded the point. Spalatin and Jonas record how Charles V paid close attention throughout the reading of the confession, whereas Brenz reports that there were times when the emperor slipped into a doze. Dr. Christian Beyer read the statement, and it took 2 hours, so maybe we can understand why fatigue may have overcome the emperor and perhaps a few others. But one wonders, as Dr. Beyer was reading this confession, if the implications of this act had been considered by him. Back in 1526, at the Diet of Speyer, there had been a very conciliatory decree produced, very tolerant. It said each estate was to live, govern, and conduct itself as it hoped to answer to God and His Imperial Majesty. But at the second Diet of Speyer, 3 years later, that was thrown out. That was declared null and void, and now who knows what was going to happen at this, the Diet of Augsburg. What was at stake as he read? What was at risk at the reading, attesting, and signing to this document? Nothing. Nothing at all was at risk. Not if we've been listening to Paul and Isaiah. For there was no risk at all in proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The only risk would have been if they had remained silent, if they had not shared the gospel that had been discovered with those who were around them. That was the risk. If somehow this gospel would remain buried under tons of man-made rules and man-made rites, burdening the consciences of generations, that was the risk. The risk was not in sharing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they did not speak, how would the gospel be heard? And if no one was hearing it, then no one was preaching it. And yet if people were preaching, well, why bother to send them if they weren't sharing Jesus Christ? Like Paul, the reformers at that day were not afraid of shame before men because they knew they would never be put to shame before God. This is a unique day in the church calendar. The church calendar has days for apostles, days for evangelists, saints, days for the cross, days for doctors, days for the Reformation. This is the only document day in the whole calendar. And if on this day that we're observing the presentation of this document, we have heard the law, that law is probably this: that too often we've been confused by thinking that the risk is in speaking of Jesus, when in reality the greater risk is in our silence. But if we have heard the gospel on this day, and I pray that we have, it is simply this: that the Holy Spirit has given us a faith that trusts in God and holds to Jesus Christ, a faith that has granted to us the forgiveness of all of our sins, and the knowledge that in the day of judgment we will stand, not because of our works or even because of our witness, but because of Jesus. May it be so for His sake. Amen.